and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Campus Activewear Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. Before we proceed on this call, let me remind you that the discussion may contain forward-looking statements that may involve known or unknown risk, uncertainties, and other factors. It must be viewed in conjunction with our businesses that could cause future results, performance, or achievement to differ significantly from what is expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. The Campus Activewear's management team is represented by Mr. Nikhil Agrawal, Whole-Time Director and CEO, Mr. Raman Chawla, CFO, and Mr. Piyush Singh, Chief Strategy Officer. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nikhil Agrawal, Whole-Time Director and CEO, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Kathy. Good evening, everyone. Welcome and thanks for joining our second quarter of FY23 earnings call today. We appreciate and deeply acknowledge your trust in our vision to create India's leading sports and athleisure footwear brand. Delighted to share that our quarterly performance has been broadly in line with our growth expectations, despite inflationary macro environment and transient demand contraction in rural and semi-urban areas. There's been a sustained improvement in our YOY quarterly financials, exhibiting marked improvement in our top line and profitable growth across all revenue streams compared to quarter two FY22, which had tailwind support of pent-up demand with markets opening up after second official lockdown in India on account of COVID-19 last year. Because of seasonality seen across product mix, consumption, quarter two empirically has been contributing 20-22% of our annual net revenue. During quarter two FY23, we sold more than 5.5 million pairs at an aggregate level, thereby clocking net income of INR 334 crores and a year-on-year growth of 22% versus quarter two, which was at 273 crores. Both trade distribution and direct-to-consumer channels have delivered profitable growth of about 7% and 44% respectively on a YOY basis versus quarter two of FY22. With the sales of 5.5 million pairs in quarter two FY23, we registered a YOY volumetric growth of 16% in comparison to quarter two FY22. Not only volume, our quarterly ASP has also grown by 5.3% from INR 577 in quarter two FY22 to INR 608 in quarter two FY23, despite a challenging inflationary environment. Balance sheet demonstrates the position of strength with robust return ratios such as ROCE and ROE of 30.1% and 30% respectively. We are sincerely thankful to our end consumers, our channel partners, all our investors and stakeholders, and our passionate team, which has helped us in delivering this performance, which earmarked the underlying strength and resilience of the brand. As always, we thank you for the invaluable support and investment. I will now hand over to our Chief Strategy Officer, Piyush Singh, for his remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, Nikhil, and greetings to everyone. Adding on to what Nikhil just said, we continue to uphold our paramount focus on sales growth and market share enhancement. As we have maintained earlier as well, just like FY22, while inflationary environment and supply chain disruptions result in a negative demand impact at an industry level, it also opens up interesting pockets of opportunity from a growth and market share enhancement perspective. Just in line, we witnessed a robust growth in quarter one FY23 and tried maintaining similar growth momentum in quarter two of FY23 as well, while being mindful of raw material inflation and direct and indirect impact of currency depreciation on our input cost structures. In quarter two, while being cognizant of market dynamics, we tried offsetting input cost inflation and transit increase in direct costs with sales mix-led premiumization. Our endeavor is to neutralize this downward impact with potential price increase and enhanced operating leverage in our upcoming quarters in the second half of the year. At the same time, we continue our planned investments towards brand building, D2C network and infrastructure expansion, and talent acquisition, all of which is expected to generate margin-accretive impact in the subsequent quarters for the rest of the year. Now, adding on to this, in all our distribution channels, category cohorts, and pricing segments, we have demonstrated robust growth, both in terms of volume and value, amidst the challenging operating environment impacted by supply chain disruptions and inflationary trends, especially in semi-urban centers. Basis price segments, our sales trend in quarter 2 FY23 has exhibited sustained premiumization vis-a-vis FY22 full year, wherein sale contribution from semi-premium and premium categories have increased from 64% in FY22 full year to 70% in quarter 2 FY23. Similarly, on a category basis, revenue mix across men, women and kids have improved from 84-16 in FY22 full year to 80-20 in quarter 2 FY23. On a trailing 12-month basis, revenue from operations have increased by 22% year-on-year to INR 1,457 crores in TTM first half FY23 as compared to FY22 full year revenue of INR 1,194 crores. Similarly, our TTM first half FY23 EBITDA stood at INR 278 crores as compared to FY22 full year EBITDA at INR 244 crores, demonstrating a 14% year-on-year growth. Our TTM first half FY23 EBITDA margin stood at 19.1% versus 20.4% in FY22, which is kind of transient in nature because of the lean first half of the year. Net profit during first half FY23 on a TTM basis stood at INR 140 crores with a PAT margin of 9.6%, as against PAT of 124 crores in FY22 with a PAT margin of 10.5%. On the supply chain front, we continue to stay cautious on the challenging inflationary environment in the near medium term, ensuring raw material and semi-finished goods availability above anything else to maximize sales potential in the coming quarters. We continue to maintain a close watch on our input costs and are confident of restoring our trendline growth trajectory and margin profile in the near to medium term in the balance year to go. I will now hand over to our CFO, Mr. Raman Chawla, to take you through more details on the quarter two and first half FY23 performance.
Thank you so much, Piyush. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the quarter two FY23 earnings call of Campus Activewear Limited. During the quarter under review, Campus as a brand demonstrated a lot of resilience. Campus delivered profitable top line growth and protected bottom line profitability while ensuring requisite investments in future capacity and brand building that is essential for sustained growth and margin recovery. Revenue from operations increased by 22% year-on-year to 334 crores during the quarter, with both channels, trade distribution and D2C, exhibiting profitable growth and premiumization in the quarter, despite industry degrowth in mass and mass premium segment across select consumption cohorts across India. EBITDA was at about 44.2 crores as compared to 55 crores in quarter two of 22. EBITDA margin stood at 13.3 in quarter two FY23 versus 20.3% in quarter two FY22. Net profit during this quarter stood at 14.5 crores as compared to 28 crores in quarter two FY22. Our quarter two FY23 sales volume registered a 5.5 million pairs as against 4.7 million pairs in quarter 2 FY22, thereby generating a 16% Y-on-Y volume growth, while quarter 2 FY23 aggregate ASP stood at 608 per pair versus INR 577 per pair, thereby resulting a almost 5% year-on-year ASP growth. On the balance sheet side, and our net debt has increased marginally from 174 crores at FY22 end to 204 crores as at September 30th, 2020, on account of working capital investment to ensure the optimal season preparedness. Our net debt to EBITDA ratio is constant at 0.7x in FY22 and in TTM H1-23, despite the transient investment in the working capital to ensure season readiness. Similarly, our return on capital employed has also gone up from 29.7% in FY22 to 30.1% in TTM H1 FY23, and we managed to deliver a robust return on equity ratio of 30% in TTM H1 FY23. With this, I'll conclude and hand it over to the operator for the question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. The The first question is from the line of Jignesh Kamani from GMO. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm audible.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Hi. Just want to check on the average inflation. So what are the blended inflation in the raw material basket? And our ASP is increased by close to 5% YOY. So price hike been very low, you can say maybe around 2 or 3%. So to what extent additional price hike is needed to cover the inflation?
Hi, Jignesh. Piyush this side. Great. So, Jignesh, there are two components to this, which has led to an impact on our gross margin in a transient way. First is raw material inflation, and second, there was an increase in minimum wages at one of our plants. This was a back-to-back increase in the months of August and September, which we are yet to pass on in terms of price increase. So, I'll just break it up for you. While our gross margin has gone down by 4.5 percentage points on a quarter on quarter basis, almost 3.5 to 3.75% is on back of raw material inflation for now, and the remaining 1.25% is on the back of our increase in conversion cost. Now, in order to offset all this, we would need a price increase of around 100 rupees on our average MRP. So, if our average MRP currently is around 1200 rupees, we'll need to take it up to 1300 rupees in order to offset this entire thing. So this price increase is something that traditionally we have always taken in our stronger half of the year or third and fourth quarter, which is the second half of the year. And we are very mindful of how the market dynamics are. And at the opportune time, we would try and bake this into our next season launch.
Understood. Second question, the demand environment. Is there any demand softness across the segment, be it a metro, tier 1, tier 2, or are we seeing more weakness in tier 2 and the economy segment versus the premium and the metro?
Yes, so there has been some softness that is being witnessed in the rural and semi-urban areas, especially in the states of UP and Bihar. We are also witnessing that softness. This is true for the entire footwear trade, not only specific to campus. Our west areas of Maharashtra and Gujarat, these states have grown remarkably well, along with even south. But just the north has sort of not grown in expectation, and that's where, you know, the west has sort of made up for the lack in the north sales uptrend.
Understood. Sure.
On a portfolio level, all our segments, be it mass premium or premium, they have witnessed growth. It's just the geographical pockets where we have kind of offset our offline sales with softness across UP and Bihar more than expected sales in Gujarat and Maharashtra. And just to add to it, our distribution channel per se, despite all the softness at an industry level, has managed to grow at almost 8%. 7% out of that 8% is driven by ASP growth, by the way.
Understood, sure. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to all the participants to ask a question. You may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Chirag from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. And good afternoon, everyone. I have two questions. So first, Nikhil, if you can just give a sense of the distribution expansion progress that we have seen in different parts of the country, and if you can break it down more geographically. And the second question is more related to the online business. My question is, is there any lumpiness in revenues that we have, because our e-commerce revenues have practically grown from about 3% of the overall revenues to about 30-35% today. So that means that, given that hyper growth phase, you will obviously have some very high base in the subsequent quarters. And would that mean that it would be difficult to meet those numbers as we go ahead in the next few quarters?
Yeah, hi, Chirag. Hi. So in terms of distribution, let me give you a geographical split. So our north has contributed about 44% of the revenues. West has contributed about 20%. South, again, has contributed about 10 to 11%. Central is 6%, and east is about 18 to 19%. So this is, like we said, you know, we've seen some dip in the north, thanks, you know, largely due to UP and Bihar, but that's been made up by the west.
Sorry, what I meant to say was, you know, in terms of the progress in reaching out to more number of touch points, what's been the progress in each of these categories, except north? North, obviously, we are very strong, but we need to increase the touch points in the balanced part of the country.
Yeah, hi, Piranga, so, Piyush this side. If you'll recollect that we had a differentiated go-to-market strategy across our various markets. So North and East undoubtedly are our core markets. In North and East, our approach or endeavor is to go deeper into the market, gain more market share, gain more shelf space. And that is the reason why we have kept growth as a paramount agenda, especially in our core markets. So we are not looking at any further counter additions, meaningful counter additions in these markets. While our approach in the emerging markets, which is essentially West India and parts of MP, Chhattisgarh, AP and Telangana, our approach is more hybrid in nature in terms of adding more counters and distributors. Here we have added a meaningful number of distributors over the last 6 months. Our distributor count has gone up by 10% and our overall counter share has also gone up by around 500 to 600 counters. And this is what has led to exceptional performance across especially the western belt of India, that is Gujarat and Maharashtra, during these challenging times, which has led to an overall growth of 22%. And similarly, we continue to stay opportunistic in South India with online and our own store network as the beachhead for kind of continuing our growth momentum in South India. So if you see, our revenue contribution profile has changed meaningfully over the last 6 months. While earlier North and Central used to contribute 55% of our overall revenues, it has moderated at 50% while still generating growth. West India, which around 6 months back used to contribute only 14 to 15%, has now gone to 20.6%. Similarly, South, which earlier used to contribute 9%, has now gone to 12.6%. And East contributes the rest, which is 18%. So East has kind of stayed static. Earlier it used to be 19%. Now it's around 17.5-18% for us. So which means that we are driving more growth from newer territories, emerging markets, frontier markets, and expanding our footprint. Now coming to your second question around online. So I'm actually relieved to tell you that despite the hypersonic growth that we have seen in this channel, we still see a lot of juice left in the channel. And on a quarter-on-quarter basis, our growth numbers have been kind of fairly above expectations. If you see, even in this quarter, we have grown at a click of 40%. So far as lumpiness is concerned, see, FY22 was one full year for us. Unlike distribution, in online, we had a full complete year, so it was quite holistically spread out. So migrating from quarter two to quarter three in this year, we have a fair line of sight that we will maintain our growth momentum this year as well. So far as little bit of lumpiness is concerned, that is a transient 20-25 crores of sales, which kind of sits in either quarter two or quarter three, depending on the flagship platform events across Flipkart and Amazon called Big Billion Day Sale or Great India Day Festival. Last year, and this had a certain impact on our quarter two numbers this year, which is transient in nature, in the sense that last year BBD and GIF were in the first week of October. This year, they were there in the last week of September, because of which an incremental sales of around 25 crores has gotten shifted to quarter three in our case. Because last 5 days of sales were not considered from a delivery standpoint or a revenue recognition standpoint. Now, the impact that we have seen this time is, while we had done all the pre-buzz marketing specifically in this quarter, the goodness of that entire marketing would be seen in a quarter three. And hence, we mentioned that our margin compression this time on account of online, which has not happened on an aggregate level, is only transient in nature. So just to summarize, we don't see any lumpiness in moving across quarters for the balance of the year. We have a clear line of sight in terms of our growth across e-commerce. And some of the margin goodness we'll recoup in quarter three, because investments were done in quarter two in the month of September, while majority of the goodness has flown in quarter three in the month of October.
Sure. And to Janice's question, the amount of price hike needed to completely offset the margin pressure, that we are almost into the middle of Q3, how much of the price increases have you already taken to offset the margin pressure?
So, we are still monitoring the market because it's not just about quarter three, it's the second half of the year, which is roughly 55 to 60% of our revenues. Once the market takes complete full throttle pace in terms of offtake at the end consumer level, that is the time when we typically take a price increase. Even if you see track record, we have essentially taken price increases in the month of December, January, but historical benchmarks are not should not be taken as cast in stone so far as this year is concerned. Nevertheless, that said, there are two very important levers which leads to margin expansion in the second half of the year, which is enhanced volume as well as some bit of price increase. At the same time, it's the operating leverage which also starts kicking in into these quarters, because most of our fixed costs, as you can see, are very much front-loaded in that sense.
Right. And my last question, if I may, can you just comment a little bit around the long-term A&P spend as well? As we get into newer markets, do you see that there will be a need to front-end some of the A&P spends?
I mean, very, very valid question. You'll remember that 6 months back, we had given a guidance that we, whatever operating leverage we have generated, 1.5%, 2% of that, we have reinvested in our A&P spend, because our long-term objective is to strengthen the brand and own the customer mind share. Despite softness in the market and generating 22% revenue growth, we have sustained on these investments because we know that these investments are for the long term and they'll be revenue and margin accretive in the subsequent quarters, not just for this year, but for the years to come. So we are still maintaining that trend line of 6.5% of A&P spend. Some of this A&P spend was front-ended in the way, as I mentioned, that a bulk of it for this quarter happened in the month of September. For the month of September, we have spent roughly around 30 crores. For the quarter, we have spent around 30 crores in A&P spend, half of which was targeted in the month of September, both on the online side and the offline side. But the entire goodness would be realized in the subsequent months. Say, for example, whatever billboards we had done, whatever print media ads were done or retail meets that we did as part of this spend, their goodness and the optic happened in the second half of September or last week of September, followed by the early weeks of October. Similarly, the entire online spend that we have done towards preparation of the Great India Day Festival, which ran for two months, and the Big Billion Day, which ran throughout September and October, majority of its goodness is yet to be realized in the month of October. So in that sense, some bit of our advertisement spends were front-ended in this quarter, while the goodness has kind of rolled over to quarter three.
Perfect. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you,
Chirag.
Thank you.
In order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the queue, we request you to please limit your questions up to two. For follow-up questions, we request you to rejoin the queue, please. We move to the next question from the line of Ali S.K. Shakir from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. You did speak about the online growth that we have seen, which has been pretty strong despite the competition. If you could just share some more color, in the last few quarters, we have noticed some of the players have, got reasonable PE funding and is it correct that there's a lot of competition that has started over there in terms of price-led competition? I mean, just wanted some color from you in terms of has the competitive intensity gone up? Are you seeing any impact because of that in your business?
Hi, Ali. Great question. The way we have structured our e-commerce business, it's based on very robust fundamentals. And not to add more English around this, the way we have structured the business is across three or four verticals of pure play marketplace, managed marketplace, and our value addition and online to offline pieces. While there are some smaller players, we have recently received some bit of equity investment, and that's only because of the opening up of the sector and the insight that people have started getting into the sector once we got listed, and there were other players who were already listed in the space. That has not really caused any dent in our market share or in our position on the e-commerce side specifically. Rather, over the last 6 months, we have accrued market share. We have accretively gained both market share and margin share in our respective P&L and balance sheet over the last 6 months, and which is reflective of in the kind of growth that we have demonstrated. Last quarter, we did 150% growth on a year-on-year basis, and this quarter, on an aggregate level, this quarter, on a year-on-year basis, we have still maintained that momentum. Even on a large base, we continued at a 40% growth year-on-year basis. On an aggregate level, the growth is still above 100% on first half versus first half of this year versus first half of last year. And that said, we have still maintained our ASP growth even in the online channel. So on an overall basis, not only we have done revenue growth, but we have also done margin accretion in this channel on a year-on-year basis, despite the increasing competition.
Got it. So this is very interesting. Any reason you see what has helped us? Is it any increase in SKUs, any new launches, or any, you know, you said price action is not taken. So what has led to this?
So there are two reasons behind, two prominent reasons. One is being enhanced brand pull, and the way we have designed our customer journeys and the way we handled our customers throughout the online and the omni-channel experience. And second is we have deepened our partnerships with our strategic partnership with the platform. So we are not just a seller on the platform. We have increased our level of engagement with these partners. So as you can see that this year also, we ran a very successful third edition of Global Giri 3.0. We launched some top of the line SKUs specifically on Flipkart and Amazon and Myntra and Ajio's. We had Campus Crazy, and similarly we have coined newer properties with other fashion verticals. And there are multiple other strategies and multiple other spokes into play right now, which are still in the works and which we are not disclosing to the public at large. But everything is focused on enhancing our partnership and strategic engagement levels with the platform and not just stay as a seller out there.
Understood. This is very helpful. Just last question on your, you know, expenses. So you did mention that we have front-loaded our spends. So the kind of increase we saw in this quarter in other expenses, which, as you mentioned, was predominantly because of the increase in A&E spend and that we have front-loaded, should we expect Q3, Q4 now accordingly, you know, to kind of see relatively much lower increase or, you know, there should be some kind of adjustment because of this factor?
Yes, Ali, hi. This is correct. We should see some normalization there as most of the cost has been front-loaded, you know, in H1. So for second half, anyways, you know, there are these other factors at play where we generate a lot of operating leverage thanks to, you know, the cost being front-loaded. So certainly this should bring in better profitability and better margin accretion.
Got it. So,
give you more color around this, Ali. If you can see on a quarter-on-quarter basis, our expenses have increased by roughly 30 crores. So 15 crore increases on back of our enhanced A&P spend, which goes towards long-term brand building. And some bit of it is front-loaded in the month of September. Goodness is flowing in the month of October and November and subsequent months around that when the season actually kicks in. The other big expense is around retail store expansion. So if you recollect, last September our retail store count was around 50, out of which 48 stores were COCO and 3 were FOFO. Now our retail store count has gone up to 150 at the end of September 30th, 2022. The entire business has grown at a clip of 100% year-on-year, despite being the early vintage of the stores. Now, most of these stores in the initial part of the year were COCOs, and hence most of the expense in terms of rolling out retail stores is front-loaded in that sense. Now, as these stores gain more maturity, our margin profile would further increase, and we'll see a normalization of these retail store expenses as well.
Understood. This is very helpful. Just to clarify the number here, if we have about 6 to 6.5% kind of ad spend, this year it would be somewhere about approximately between 90 to 100 odd crore, which would last year have been about 70 odd crores. So is my understanding correct that H1 this year we did about 45 against probably something close to around what 20 odd, so we've doubled. and now the coming quarter, therefore the increase will be much lower against a 40 last year. It could be something like approximately 40-45 itself. So
yes, your understanding is correct. We have roughly done around 50 crores on a sales of 670 crores. So hence the front loading. The remaining part of the year, which is expected to generate another 55 to 60% of our revenues, the balance to go is roughly close to 40-45 crores. And hence, this expense would get meaningfully normalized.
Superb. This is helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshay Thakkar from Fidelity. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just a couple of questions around the demand environment. Could you just sort of recap first on what was the growth seen ex online? So if we take your MBO, EBO sort of channels, what was the growth over there? That's question one.
Hi, Akshay. Piyush this side.
Hi, Piyush.
Glad to have you on the call. So, Akshay, I'll give you a breakup across all three channels. In our MBO network, the trade distribution network, in this quarter, on a year-on-year basis, we have grown at a rate of 8%. The entire growth is driven by ASP, which is our sales mix. In the e-commerce channel, on a year-on-year basis, this quarter was the same quarter last year, we have grown at a rate of 40%. And in our own retail network and key accounts, we have grown at a rate of 92% year on year.
So, if I think about sales growth, that MBO, I mean, say MBO channels, etc., not growing by about 8-9%, was that like, you know, through the quarter a slowdown that you saw, or that was pretty evenly how it was spread out? I'm just sort of. Because your growth, like you said, on a full year performance on e-commerce has been very credible. So if I had to pick a hole, I would say MBO is a channel where you've grown a little slow. So just wanted to get your perspective on why there was a little bit of a slowdown over there and how are you thinking about growth in that sort of segment for the rest of the year.
So certainly, Akshin, the growth in the MBO has been slower than expected. And we understand that because there has been remarkable softness in the market, especially in the Hindi-speaking belt, you know, where we have, where we sort of dominate the market in a big way. So it's impacted the MBO growth, which has been more than been made up by the other channels. But going forward as well, we have a very robust plan in place where, you know, of course, while macros will certainly help, but at the same time, you know, we have taken a lot of actions within the channel itself in order to make sure that, you know, every counter, the service levels have gone up significantly along with, you know, order fulfillments and coverage of all the counters in a meaningful way in order to ensure that the growth sort of normalizes and comes back to its budgeted levels in the distribution piece.
And Akshay, just to add to it, even in the trade distribution side, while the industry has degrown because of this softness, we have still maintained this growth because of the network diversification that we have managed to achieve in terms of our enhanced footprint in Western India and parts of Southern India. So while there was some bit of softness in the Hindi-speaking belt, especially in the states of UP and Bihar, we were largely able to offset it and kind of do some accretive sales, especially in the states of Gujarat, Maharashtra, AP and Telangana.
So have you seen, not to look for a guidance, but just directionally, have you seen in UP, Bihar, demand pick up into October, November? Not really looking for a number, just trying to understand directional trends and demand.
Directionally, you are bang on because there are three main levers which leads to kind of enhanced sales in the second half of the year, especially in the Hindi-speaking belt. These three levers are the onset of the festival season, second, the onset of winter, and third is the onset of marriage season, weddings. Yeah, so this time the wedding season, Muhurat, starts with 24th of November and it goes till 20th of December, which is the peak of third quarter, and then it restores again kicks back in the quarter four. Now, onset of winter is slightly delayed this time, but we are expecting another week or so, the winters would also be at its full might. And these two factors, along with the festivities around in the second half of the year, has traditionally led to an enhanced demand and enhanced sales. and consumer offtake in the subsequent quarters of the year.
Okay. My second sort of set of questions are around pricing strategy. So you know, your presentation talks about 5% higher ASP growth. Now, e-commerce is growing faster and that's higher realization business. So there is some mixed impact on channel as well. So like for like, it would seem that your realization growth would be low single digits. I don't know if there is a mixed impact within the shoes that you're selling in MBO, EBO, etc., or that's the headline price increase that you've taken. And in a year where general inflation is high, just love to get your thoughts on the reluctance to take, you know, maybe another 4-5% price hike right now.
Interesting question. I'll take your last question first in terms of when is the right time to take a price increase. See, we have seen that a few of our competitors took a price increase and then had to do a rollback. We are very cognizant of how the market reacts, especially in the mid-premium segment. So for us, paramount is to maintain our growth trajectory and to keep on gaining more and more shelf space and market share. Because once you have kind of established yourself in the network, both online and offline, it's easier for you to get the margins back, so long as you're not doing a discounted sale. What is comforting here is, if you look at all our channel splits and our growth profile, all the channels are growing holistically and not on the back of a discounted sale, which is kind of triangulated with the help of ASP growth that we have demonstrated. The more comforting fact is that our entire traditional trade distribution network has grown purely on the back of sales mix and ASP growth in a softer market where volume kind of stayed muted or kind of the volume growth was missing for the time being. So far as our overall ASP impact is concerned, you'll be surprised that e-commerce channel for now is holding its ASP despite our enhancement across women and kids category. And the entire sales largely is driven by volume growth for now. The entire ASP growth or the premiumization is led by both our trade distribution as well as our own retail. So which are very comforting levers for us for now, because these levers actually give you that pricing power even in a difficult market. Had it been on the back of discounted sales and margin loss because of additional discounting, we would have limited number of options to take that price increase. Just to recap that entire thing, what we have mentioned to Jinesh also from JMO, the overall price increase that we need to take at an opportune time in order to offset this entire transient hit of raw material inflation, which is now cooling down, is not more than 100 rupees. Which, I mean, we believe we have the pricing power, but we are just being mindful of how the market behaves, especially in the offline side. So we believe once demand offtake starts in the peak of winters, we'll get a more opportune window to kind of exercise this option.
Okay, very clear. So then in just the last question from my side, sorry, I've asked too many questions, this is the last question, was in terms of margins then, you know, we continue to focus on top-line growth. Q3 could see some transitory impact of inflation as well. We should think about margin normalization. And by normalization, I'm thinking more like the 20-21% margins that you did last year by Q4 or early next year. Would that be the right way to think about margin?
It's a little premature to comment on that. That directionally we'll be kind of rolling over in the next fiscal year to kind of regain our margin profile. We believe quarter three would start seeing that normalization impact because raw material inflation has started softening a bit. And operating leverage would start kicking in a meaningful way because quarter three is a meaningful quarter for us. By quarter four, it's a little premature. So directionally, yes, we'll see margin reversal happening in a meaningful way in the second half of the year. Line of sight still stays the same where we were operating in the last fiscal. And all our endeavors are towards holding the fort on that front. So whatever compression we have seen in quarter two, we can kind of comment on that this is transient in nature and part of the goodness would be reflective in the subsequent quarter, which is quarter three, and at the same time we are mindful of our operating leverage and working towards all the
normalization of
all the normalization efforts that we can take internally to kind of offset this impact.
Perfect. Thank you guys, and all the best for the rest of the year.
Thank you, Akhil.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akhil Parekh from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the EBOs. I think you mentioned that we have expanded our EBO reach from 50 to 150 odd stores in last 1 year. So what kind of geographies we are looking at for EBO expansion, and how different is a product portfolio in EBO channel versus say, MBO and online channel?
Hi. So our EBO footprint is largely driven with the fact that the rollout is happening for premiumization of our distribution network, which you will witness in our quarter two numbers as well. As I mentioned already, whatever growth we have generated in quarter two in our trade distribution network is largely on the back of ASP premiumization, which again has happened because of our EBO rollout strategy. So these EBOs are getting rolled out into the markets where we already have a meaningful brand presence and brand recollection. So from an overall cross-section perspective, we are kind of evenly distributed on a pan-India level now. Our 150 stores are largely present across, say, 25-30 stores are based out of Delhi, NCR. Another 20-22 stores are based out of UP. 10 stores are based out of Bihar. Gujarat has almost 30 stores now. Maharashtra has another 20-25 stores. And we are increasing our footprint very rapidly in the states of AP, Telangana, MP, Jharkhand, West Bengal is another state that we have added in Karnataka to that fact. As on date, our store count is 180, and by the end of this calendar year, we expect the store count to reach to 200.
With a mix of...
In terms of product profile, the product profile is highly premium in our stores, and that has led to higher ASP realization in our stores. Our stores essentially keep, so long as men footwear is concerned, which is 80% of portfolio, our stores essentially start at a price point of 1500 MRP and goes as high as 3500 MRP. So the product profile is very, very unique so far as our stores are concerned, but that product you'll find on e-commerce. We try and maintain price parity across all our channels in order to offer an omni-channel experience to our customers.
I'd just like to add that the number of stores are marginally now higher in terms of FOFO counts, franchisee-operated, than COCOs. So the focus is now on increasing our franchisee-owned stores going forward.
Okay, sure. And second is, do you see from a consumer point of view...
Mr. Parekh, may be requested to please rejoin the queue for the follow-up questions. We have other participants waiting in the
queue. Okay, sure.
Thank you. Participants, we request you to please restrict your questions up to two. If you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. We move to the next question from the line of Ankit Kedia from Phillip Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, two questions from my side. One, could you just quantify the volume decline you are seeing in UP, Bihar, and the kind of volume growth you are seeing in West and South market? Just to get a color on, you know, how intense is the pressure we are seeing in those markets. Second question is, you know, regarding the ASP, could you share the difference in ASP between online and trade distribution now? And while I understand that the trade distribution demand is weak, so price increase could be difficult, but what is stopping you to take the price increase in the online market, given that, you know, the product is very premium, you don't sell it offline, so there, you know, it would be more easy for you to take a price increase on an immediate basis.
Yeah, hi Ankit, Piyush this side. So Ankit, we don't do a what. So I'll take your second question first, and then I'll address your question around volume decline and volume enhancement. So far as our portfolio strategy is concerned, we don't do a vertical split in terms of segregation of portfolio across distribution, online, and our own retail. We rather do a horizontal season split. So at any given point in time, all our product would be available across all channels. So taking up a price increase only across one channel and not across the other channel is actually not very customer experience friendly that we have seen. What we have done instead is we have taken selective price increases in terms of new exclusive launches, especially during the month of September when we did that exclusive Global Giri campaign and the launch of our casual ranges. So while the volume is still nascent, the response was very encouraging even on a higher priced product portfolio. The entire portfolio was priced at $19.99 and above and was exclusively available on the D2C network, and the sell-throughs were very, very encouraging from that aspect. While it's just a small step in that direction, we are meaningfully working in this regard, where exclusivity, special drops and collaborations become a meaningful part of our volume contribution, and hence it kind of gives us a hedge against any kind of inflationary impact in the traditional network. Now, so far as your other question is concerned around the volume decline, the volume decline in UP and Bihar was close to 7% during the first half of the year, which kind of got offset by the states of Gujarat, Maharashtra, and AP Telangana, where 8 to 8.5% of volume increase was seen on a slightly smaller base. So the volume offset was there. Your last question was around the ASP differential. So the ASP differential is roughly to the tune of 15% between our trade distribution and our online channel, and it stays as such. And it was roughly the same even at the end of FY22.
Sure. And you know, just on the revenue contribution from.
We request you to please rejoin the queue for follow-ups. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh from Miraculous. Participants, we again remind you to please limit your questions up to two. Harsh, you can go ahead with your question, please.
My first question was around inventory. So while our top line for the last 3-4 quarters is largely just on similar trends, however, our inventory from Q4 to Q2 has increased from 350 crore to 500 crore. And this is quite a bit of a meaningful jump. So what explains this?
Yeah, so you know, this is largely in line with what we had planned because, you know, this is all front-ended inventory. We built up the inventory for the season, for the second half. As second half of the year contributes to about 55 to 60% of the overall revenue, this is the normal trend, you know, that we see every year in terms of the inventory build-up, mostly during quarter two.
Okay. And regarding this category of sports shoes, especially from the price range from 500 to 2000, so now we are growing at a very healthy rate. However, at what rate is this category itself growing in India at a pan-India basis?
So, Harsh, the category itself is growing at a rate of around 15 to 18%. Barring these couple of hiccups around demand softness and all, on a holistic level, at a CAGR basis, we can easily assume that the overall category, including unorganized and organized players, is growing somewhere between 15 to 18% as of now.
Okay.
The industry size is close to 12.5 crores.
Okay.
12.5 thousand crores, my bad.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ramakrishnan from Equity Intelligence Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Could you give me a breakup of sneakers and chappals? So we have an average realization of around 600 rupees. And I think earlier one of the answer you said that 1200 rupees is the price and you have to take a price increase of 100 rupees for the margin correction. And the second thing is on the e-commerce, what is the return? Because the other guys were talking about 20% return. So what kind of return? And breakup of your online, your own online through and the e-commerce sales.
Okay, let me answer your first question first. So in terms of, you're looking at the MRP. Our ASPs are X-factory in nature, our net realization, right? So that's approximately 50% in the case of trade distribution and slightly more in the case of the other channels. So that's why our ASPs trend at about 600 odd levels versus the MRPs of 1200. So in order to offset the inflationary impact, we need to take an MRP increase of 100 rupees at 1200 rupees, which would translate to roughly 50 rupees on the ex-factory levels in terms of our ASP increase.
Okay. Yep. So, Mr. Ramakrishna, if I may give you an illustration very quickly. So, on an average level, as Nikhil mentioned, our MRP is 1200 rupees. Our cost to MRP multiplier on a blended level is somewhere close to 4 to 4.2x. So that means the cost of manufacturing that shoe, which I sell at an average MRP of 1200 rupees, is close to 300 rupees. Now, because of this raw material inflation and increase in minimum wages across our plants in back-to-back months, our cost of processing has gone up by almost 5 rupees, and our raw material inflation has led to an increase in raw material cost by another 20 rupees, which means my cost has gone up from 300 to 325. If I need to maintain the same margin profile, I need to increase my MRP from 1200 to 1300 rupees so that whatever realization I get, which is incremental realization of 50 rupees, I'll be able to offset not only the increased input and conversion cost, but I'll be able to maintain my material margins at an additional 25 bucks. So that's how the illustration flows.
Okay. Yeah, the breakup, I asked for the breakup of basically sneakers and chappals and as well as the return on e-commerce.
90% of our portfolio is sneakers and sports shoes. Only 10% is open footwear, which is not only flip-flop. We don't do very basic Hawaii chappals. We start with the flip-flops, slip-ons, which are more premium in nature.
Yeah, like starting at $499, $599, which is all premium range.
And this return on e-commerce...
The operator, Mr. Ramakrishna, may be requested to please rejoin the queue for follow-ups. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jasdeep Balia from Clockwise Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. So thanks for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yes, please go ahead.
So I went to your showroom, I think, in beginning of September. It was not during online the big online sales events. And I checked the prices of your premium products, which are at around 2,000 rupees. Now, I checked the price on Amazon as well. All of them were available on Amazon at around 30 to 40% discount. Now, my first question is, what's your strategy on pricing in offline and online channels on a long-term basis? And if this is the kind of discount which is going to continue on e-commerce, then it doesn't make sense for consumers to buy offline. Hence, the investments that you are doing in your offline channel, whether it's on expanding distribution or your EBOs, they could be suboptimal returns in future?
So, great question, and I'll take this up. See, the thing is how we are actually segregating the portfolio. As I've already mentioned, we don't do a vertical split because that is suboptimal in nature so far as ad spend is concerned. So, what we have done is we have picked our own retail and our trade distribution on the back of freshness. Now, this change is something that we have incorporated over the last 1 year or so. So, whatever shoes you must have seen over there must be part of the phased out portfolio that we kind of take out from our stores, because September is the month when we do our autumn winter launch in stores and across our trade distribution. So, how we try and maintain this is whenever we launch a new season, the launch is also not knee-jerk and the phasing out is also not knee-jerk, because you have to phase out the inventory, residual inventory, which is lying there at the stores and make it available online and elsewhere at a slightly higher discount. The discounts are not at all funded by us. These are transient and funded by the platforms only during the events. So what we do is once we launch a certain product, say specifically if we are doing a spring-summer launch or an autumn-winter launch, what we ensure is during the next 3 to 4 months, which is the kind of the freshness phase of the product, we maintain price parity across all channels. So whatever fresh launches we do in the month of September, you'll see that whether you go and find the product online or you find the product in a store or through our trade distribution, the maximum discount cap is 10%, and that too kicks in after the second month of the launch. In the initial month, there is absolutely no discount and we only trend on freshness. And this is the kind of discipline that we are trying to implement across all our channels. While we are mindful that it's only the first year and there is some residual inventory, residual season styles which are still hot selling across all channels. So So this will take some time for kind of a portfolio segregation perspective on a horizontal split level. But otherwise, the strategy is very, very clear across all channels. During the current season and season minus one, we are trending on freshness. And for legacy seasons and for SMU manufacturing and special collabs, we are kind of doing that value proposition in collaboration with the platforms, which might lead to some bit of discounting for a few days.
So basically,
number around this, despite whatever portfolio discount you have seen on an anecdotal basis, our overall aggregate discount on our e-commerce channel has stayed within the realms of 17-18% and has never crossed the threshold of 20% so far.
Got it, sir. So basically that means that there will be exclusivity of SKUs available offline and online only during the launch phase. After that, broadly, when the SKU gets around
our portfolio, we refresh our portfolio every 6 months. So in every refresh, we introduce 150 to 200 new designs. So whatever is the current season offering, you'll hardly find that on discount. And within 6 months, we kind of refresh. Because for running the stores, be it MBO stores or be it our own stores, you need that freshness because freshness is the only hook which kind of attracts the customer in.
Got it. Thanks a lot. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arpitcha from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, hi.
Yeah, just wanted to understand what would be our margin looking like, let's say, for FY23. Because if we see our margins have actually increased, let's say, from FY20, when we started increasing our share of D2C pie in our revenues, which were incrementally higher in terms of margins. But if I see the margin, let's say, for Q1 and Q2, and these are kind of margins where we may not actually reach 20% for FY23. Do you think that it will be at least 18% margin for FY23? Is there something that you can guide for?
Sorry, your voice is kind of getting phased out in between. So while we can hear that you have requested for some margin outlook for the balance of the year, but we couldn't really understand the balance of your question.
Yeah, so I'm just looking out for an outlook for margins for FY23. Because if I see your margins have increased every year, due to increasing share of D2C, which is incrementally higher margins. So what kind of margins are you looking for FY23? Because D2C growth has not slowed down. The growth in online was 44%. Even our EBO count is down to now 155 stores. What kind of margin are you looking at for FY23?
I mean, we are not giving any specific guidance around our margin profile. All we can say is directionally we are heading towards the best part of our year, which is the second half of the year. So far as volume delivery, top line growth, as well as margin enhancement is concerned, right now we are looking at an opportune time to kind of offset the raw material inflation that we have seen in order to normalize our legacy margin structure of FY22, and we are confident that with the right steps in place, we should be able to do it in the balance of the year.
So have you taken any price increase in Q3 as of yet?
No, not yet. Not yet. We are still 5 months. 5 months are still there on a year to go basis. We'll look at the opportune time because for us, paramount thing is to ensure that we continue our growth momentum. We keep on gaining more and more market share.
Because the marriage season broadly starts on the 24th of November.
Mr. Shah, may we request you to please
read. It's just a follow-up. There's an additional question. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, because the marriage season starts on the 24th of November, goes on till 20th of December. This is a very big season, at least in the north. So any price increase would have actually helped you to increase margins in Q3 because half of the quarter is already done for you, right?
Yeah, see, like Piyush mentioned earlier, you know, a couple of competitors tried doing that in the season and they had to reverse the decision. So it has
to be a very well thought through strategy. Yeah. And see, there are multiple other variables and multiple other levers available at play for us to not just ensure growth, but also to recoup margins. So while directionally these are the levers, like festive season, onset of marriage, and the onset of winters, but there is no hard peg or hard correlation between when we should take a price increase vis-a-vis the onset of these levers. So as we mentioned, we are very watchful of the market dynamics and the kind of demand profile that we are seeing all across the country, and specific cohorts in core markets. We'll do the same at an opportune time.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we take the last question from the line of Harsha from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question, sir. What is the proportion of discounted states for us in second quarter, and how has it trended compared to, historical levels?
Discounted sales have not exactly gone up versus last year. We can come back to you with exact numbers.
But you can very well triangulate this from the fact that despite a tough quarter for the industry, we have still managed to grow our ASPs by 5%, which is actually our full year trend line of ASP growth.
And margin contraction essentially led by the raw material increase and the conversion cost increase. It's not so much by the discounts.
Okay. And sir, just one clarification. What we said is that the 2025 crore e-commerce sales, right? So on a like-to-like basis, that should have been recorded in 2Q, right? If we compare it with last year, which will flow for us in 3Q. Is that right, sir?
So that sales last year was part of our quarter three numbers any which way, because the major festival, the flagship festival, started on 30th of September and went to the balance of October. This year they started on 23rd of September and kind of followed through in the month of October. So the first flagship event happened in the first week itself, and majority of its sales got rolled over. On a BAU level, this is a normal phenomenon across quarters, but what we are mentioning here is the incremental sales that happens once a year, depending on when the event happens.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ladies
and gentlemen, that was the last question for today's Campus Activewear Q3 FY23 con call. On behalf of Campus Activewear Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. And in case of any further queries, please reach out to Campus Activewear's Investor Relations team at ird@campusshoes.com. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.